Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Passion Podcast. It's Louis Giglio coming to you from the back room of the Passion House in Atlanta, Georgia. And this place has been buzzing like crazy. We had about 130 students here on Monday night for the Passion 2010 Live Link. We actually met across the street at the DeVoe House, which is a little meeting facility over there, because we couldn't cram all the guests we wanted to have in our back room back here and couldn't get the production right. But that was an incredible night, Monday night. Talk about that in just 1 second. And then we had 26 campus leaders from around the United States, or somewhere between 26 and 30, who were here for the Live Link Monday night, stayed as our guest on Tuesday. We got a chance to hear about their ministries, pray for each other. Just think about what an incredible opportunity it is to speak into the lives of university students at the most important juncture of life. And so we're back to normal. We've sort of put the back room back together. I don't know how this happens, Jonathan. It's like little, people appear somehow. Furniture fairies appear during the night, and the room is back together in its normal form. And it's been a really, really cool time. But welcome to the back room of the Passion House. We got so many good things for you today. David Crowder is going to be on the phone with us in just a couple of minutes from Waco, Texas, talking about his new project, Church Music, that's coming out. And we are going to do our first ever Passion Podcast giveaway. And we're going to be giving away these amazing shirts. I'm kind of into t-shirts, depending on if they're cool or not. And we got some really cool shirts, so I'm like fired up. These are, Christian wore one on the link, and might have been that Christian's just such a smooth model that, you know, everybody kind of saw it on him and thought, that looks absolutely beautiful. But the shirt is really cool. And the shirt says, I am part of a global awakening. And it's a really cool design. It has a little Passion 2010 thing down at the bottom. So you can both, you know, kind of let your voice rise up to the fact that you're a part of a movement that God's doing around the world. And it's a good way to talk about Passion 2010. We're going to give 20 of them away on the Passion Podcast right now. I mean, that's a pretty high percentage. When you consider we got, 300 plus listeners, and we're giving 20 shirts away. So a lot of people are going to win something. That's like 15% of our audience is going to win something in just a couple of minutes. I don't know. That's going to be pretty exciting. So stick around for that. We'll tell you how that's going to happen as well. But the Live Link, man, just incredible. And I don't know if you had a chance to join us or not. We had an incredible response. As far as we know, and you kind of always, not sure about the final numbers on things like this, but as far as we know, there are around 4,500 plus locations linked together with us here in America and around the world. People linked in from every continent, save Antarctica, and just incredible seeing these countries pop up. I think there were somewhere in the neighborhood of 43 different countries that were on the link, and folks from China to Ukraine to Argentina, Brazil, Malaysia, New Zealand, Australia, the UK. It just was a beautiful representation. And then we had people from every state except, God, this is so frustrating. So next time we do a link, we're going to have to up our ante here. But we had people from every state except Alaska and North Dakota. In fact, we actually we Skyped in to a group in South Dakota, which was incredibly cool. We first went to a group in Delaware and called them South Dakota, and they were looking at us real puzzled, but turns out they were actually in Delaware. And then we finally got the South Dakota people on in Brookings, South Dakota, South Dakota State University. And it was really, really cool. So North Dakota, we know you're out there. In fact, I was watching registration for Passion 2010. We had a big price increase, by the way, that ended at midnight last night. And so there were literally thousands of registrations coming through in the last few hours yesterday. And I kind of get into that. I like to see where they're coming from and who they are. So I'm kind of refreshing our little internal page. And I see one come in way late in the night, close to midnight. I was actually watching it close to midnight, Central Time, or maybe even worse. And one came in from North Dakota, and I was so fired up. Just one guy registering from North Dakota, and I was like, right on. But we had all 48 states except for those two, and just incredible night. So I just want to say thanks for joining us. It was a beautiful time. Listen to some of these numbers. We had 38 different locations in the United Kingdom and Great Britain, which is cool. We had 30 different locations in Ukraine and 15 different locations listening around in the Netherlands. We had 7 countries in South America on board with us, and just incredible. David Crowder joined us from out in the studio in Waco, and he's going to be on with us in just a couple of minutes. Francis joined us late in the broadcast, the webcast, to pray for everybody, and Christian and Chris and Christy were leading here with me in Atlanta, and just a really, 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 really cool time. 14,000 people linked together around the world, praying together, thinking about life together, and all the joy of it, our hearts breaking in that moment of finding out that Hannah, this brand new friend of ours, and if you don't know the story, you haven't followed our blog, and you didn't see the link, we were so excited that we got a response on our blog a few days before the link from this girl named Hannah. And she's, I mean, just put everything in perspective. She said, I'll be listening, and I think that was a key word, not watching, but listening. I'll be listening from Mali. And if you don't know where Mali is, you can just Google it while you're listening if you're near your computer. It's a landlocked nation in West Africa, one of the poorest nations on earth. And she said, I'll be listening from Mali where I'm working among the Bozo people. And I'll be excited to be joining in with you guys. And, you know, immediately for me, I was like, whoa. You know, we're not just talking about a bunch of college kids at Clemson or somebody coming out here, you know, to the Passion House to be a part of something. We're talking about somebody who has said goodbye to the American dream and the convenience of Starbucks and who has really taken seriously this opportunity to make Jesus famous among the nations. And if you don't know the Bozo people, I didn't know of them either, but there's a website I can go to instantly and find out what's going on, and you could too. It's joshuaproject.org, and it tracks the unreached peoples of the world. And immediately I found the Bozo, and I found where they are in Mali and where they live. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of Bozo people who have never had an opportunity to hear the word grace and have never heard the story of Jesus Christ. And there's Hannah, and she's out there sharing with them and shining among them, and she's going to be on the podcast, I mean on the live link. So we were so excited. And we began to kind of correspond with her and put her little story and her response. She responds by saying, by the way, not it's all about me, but hey, I'm blown away that 6,000, at that time there were 6,000 people RSVP'd for the link. She said, I'm blown away that 6,000 people now are going to be praying for me. I mean, how amazing. She says, oh, this is incredible. I'm going to have all these people praying for me over here in Mali. She said, I'm so excited there are going to be 6,000 people praying for the Bozo people in Mali. And she said, I'm just blown away. I'm overwhelmed by how God can do something like that. So we posted her response on the blog, and we were so excited. We're going to make that a big focus of the link. We're going to pray for her, pray for those people. And then we found out Monday, I think maybe even before she found out in Africa, as we were just tracking back with some of her friends. She's a graduate of the University of Georgia here from the Atlanta area. And we were just trying to get a little bit more information about her before we went into the link and, you know, told 14,000 people around the world that we were all going to pray for Hannah. And we found out, I think maybe even before she did in Africa, that her mom died on Monday, the day of the live link here in Atlanta. And her mom died suddenly, and it just broke our hearts. But I'm telling you, it made us know that somehow this wasn't just a promotional idea. It wasn't just some cool thing to link people together. It wasn't just a nice night that we could all worship and pray together. But this was God's economy. And that not only were 14,000 people from 43 nations around the world going to find out about the Bozo people, and I know with that going to have their hearts pricked and be led by the Holy Spirit, not just to pray, but some people were going to be led to get involved directly with seeing these people come to know the gospel. But to know that in this moment, Hannah, her whole world had changed, and we were going to be able to put our arms around her and hold her up and pray for her. And we were able to speak over her on the link, and I think she might have gotten a chance to watch it this morning as we rebroadcast it. It's on Wednesday now that we're making the podcast. But we were able to speak over her and pray over her, that incredible passage from 2 Chronicles 16:9, which says, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he might show himself to be strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. And I knew in that moment that God saw Hannah. He saw her heart. He saw her backpacking through Mali among these Muslim people. He knew and saw these events and circumstances that were coming to pass. And he put me and my friends and our team and 14,000 of us around her on that day to say, God is with you. And he is for you, and we are with you, and we are for you. And Hannah, if you ever hear this, I just want you to know that we love you. I've never met you, and our team hasn't had a chance to meet you, but we love you, and it is our privilege to stand with you. And we are on our knees in these days praying for you and your brother and your dad and your extended family. And we are praying for the bozo of Molly, and we're going to keep praying for them and keep opening our hearts to what God wants to do through us to help those of you who are there in the mission that God has given you. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Thinking about her today, it led me to this passage in Deuteronomy 33, and this is as Moses is praying a blessing over all of the tribes of Israel before he died. And he said to one of the tribes, "There is none like the God of Jeshurun," and that just means the God of the righteous is the way that translates, "who rides the heavens to your help and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And I know he's riding through the heavens to Hannah's side right now, and he's riding through the heavens to your side right now, wherever you are. If you just look up, you'll see him in his eyes looking for those who said, "God, my heart's yours, my mission's yours, what I'm all about is all about being yours." And God said, "I know, and I see, my eyes see throughout the whole earth, and I love coming alongside and showing myself to be strong on behalf of people just like you." So don't lose heart. God knows your name today. He knows Hannah's name. He knows your circumstances. He knows what's going on, and he is there for you. One of the songs that we're going to talk about in Crowder's album, I'll just let you get the album later on, but when you get to track number 6, that's a song that I want to listen to on a day like today. And when you hear a song we're going to talk about on the project called Shadows, it's just reminding us that the cross is big, even in moments like this. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, David Crowder is going to be with us from Waco, Texas, and we're going to talk a little bit about his new album coming out, Church Music. So don't go away. We'll be right back on the Passion Podcast. So we're back, and we have our friend David Crowder on the line from Waco, Texas. David, thank you for joining us and our 317 listeners on the Passion Podcast.
That number's growing, man. It's amazing. We're blowing up.
We are. I'm telling you, we're getting calls left and right from national media. We're getting highlighted on you know, podcast watch sites. They can't believe it. It's like a rocket.
I know. I remember back when there were like 200. It's crazy.
Yeah, if you're listening right now, by the way, and you're one of the original 12 podcast listeners, would you just raise your hand? Let us see who you are, where you are right now. That is incredible.
Is amazing.
Thank you for staying with us, for being faithful, for helping us carry this thing. And I'm telling you, we're going to 500. And I have faith and confidence that we're going to 500. It's going to be amazing. But I'm so glad that you're on with us today. Tell us what's happening in Waco, Texas right now. I know you've got a crazy life. Last time we talked, which was Monday night, and you were kind enough to join us for a few minutes on the Passion 2010 Live link, and thank you so much for that. You had several hundred freshmen at your house for dinner, which is a pretty interesting thought. And then out today, who knows what's going on? What's going on in the life of David Crowder right now?
Well, this is, you're going to be impressed, dude. This is awesome. So I just got back from the Baylor campus. After the last 3 days, I have been a guest lecturer.
Oh, my goodness. That is incredible. In what field of study, can I ask?
I don't know. It's kind of, it was sort of this. No, it was in the church music history department. All the church music majors were subjected to my presence for 3 days straight. And we had a good, it was actually quite an enjoyable deal. It's part of the Hearn Innovators series there, you know, Billy Ray's quite a...
Billy Ray Hearn, the founder of Sparrow Records, and a Baylor graduate, and a real passionate person for the future of music in the church.
Yes, and so he was—he had set up a thing a number of years ago, and then they invited me to come be a part of that. And so we spent 3 days on campus there, talking, and then just walk in the door. I've been in and out, you know. So we get done with something over on campus, run back over to the UBC church facility. Because we have, we've been hard at work packaging all of this lovely church music paraphernalia that we've got going out the door in the not too distant future. So it looks like it's pretty funny. It looks like Zappos or something. got Amazon.com going down over here. It's hilarious.
That is totally exciting. So I'm picturing in my mind this assembly line of university students who are not getting paid but are just working out of the goodness of their hearts. And they are. And by the way, you mentioned that, and I wanted to talk about this later in our little interview, but I might mention it right now because I think I know what they're putting together. But you guys have a phenomenal project coming out next Tuesday, which don't know when people listen to the podcast, but that's September 22nd. It's called Church Music, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But you guys have put together a fan pack of some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen in one collection. There is a double LP of the CD Church Music, which I think all the band guys have signed, and it's beautiful, by the way. And you can talk about this later, but I think it's the heaviest record I've ever held in my hands before. It's like like a Whammo flying disc. I mean, it's like regulation quality for sure. There is, of course, the CD is in the pack. There is a magazine, which I want you to talk about. You call it 80 pages of Crowder fun, but who does a magazine? Who comes up with an 80-page magazine except a church history professor and his crew? There is a pick in there, I think, for people who play the guitar or would like to pretend that they do. There are stickers, there's a poster, and there's a code, which I want you to tell people about, where they can download four acoustic versions of songs that are on the Church Music CD. So I'm guessing, is that what's being put together around you right now?
That is exactly, yes. So, I can hear the tape guns going in the distance. Sounds like retail happening.
That's incredible.
That's a good summary of all the goodness that will wind up in these boxes. You're right, man, that vinyl is, I don't even know how you decide the weight of vinyl, but that stuff, it feels like it's lead-based or something.
I've been working out that, you know, I'm glad it came in two discs. I've been working out with one in each hand. It's really, it's been an incredible thing. Some people say, you know, I work out to the new David Crowder CD. I'm literally working out, you know, with the new David Crowder LP as the CD plays. But I like that because when I get a hold of something, I like to know I got some value, you know.
This is substantial.
And when you hold this LP up, and if people don't know what we're talking about, we say LP. We're talking about vinyl. We're talking about large black disc that you put actually in a turntable, put the needle on it, you hear a little crackle and pop, and then you hear the warmth of music like you can only hear it in stereophonic sound.
This is how it's supposed to be listened to right here. The double vinyl set from Crowder Band. This is it.
Yeah, we actually, I hate to say this, but at the Passion House, we had to go out and buy a turntable for the Passion House, and we officially have gotten the David Crowder Church Music turntable. We had some guests here yesterday, you'll be happy to know, from around the country. We had about 26 campus leaders, campus pastors in the Passion House for 24 hours, and we had a little listening party to some vinyl yesterday, and it was absolutely fantastic. People were digging
it. That sounds like so much fun. Man, that sounds fun.
The album's called Church Music, and you know, I think some people are going to love that idea, and some other people are going to be caught off guard because there's everything, musically speaking, on this project. And David, you guys try to grab hold of the music of culture and somehow wed that into the message of the church. And was that part of the thinking and the process as you guys were coming out with this new project?
As you know us, we're locally based in a church, and so we are the guys who help provide the musical background to our expression on Sunday mornings. And so it made sense to us to call it what it is, you know, what we're doing. We're just making church music, trying to construct songs for the church to sing and to give back to God in a sense. What I love about it is that you can take these simple little words and offer, in a sense, a bit of criticism for both parties. You know, like for people coming from maybe more progressive places like ourselves, they'll see these words and they'll think, no, that's not church. Church music is stodgy and stiff, and you know, where's the organ? This isn't church music. Well, and in so doing, the idea of the music of the church gets expanded. And then people coming from maybe more traditional backgrounds hear the progressive sounds and think, this is not church music. And again, we have the opportunity for conversation and hopefully growth there. So I like that simple language can cause so much thought and be in a sense, very weighted. That's kind of fun to me. So yeah, but in simpler terms, we're just calling it what it is. We're just writing songs for the church to sing. So
One of the things, David, that you know always has intrigued me and inspired me about your musical journey is it seems like it's one body of work, and I know that's not unique to you. A lot of artists have that kind of a mentality, but you don't. You know, your albums seem like they're chapters in a journey, and they're woven together into this one progressive message. And I don't know if you see it that way, but if so, how do the albums, album over album, is there this interconnectedness? And if so, how does church music play into that journey that we've been on?
Absolutely. Well, yes, it definitely is. You know, I think we try to point toward where we're going with each, you know, with each release, and we try to be a little ahead of where we're or thinking about where our next step's going to be. You know, like the church music thing we've been sitting on, I think, you know, with it's come up in conversation between you and I and people that are around us for a number of years now, just because of knowing that this is where we're headed and where we're wanting to push towards. So like the next record, we've kind of got a lot of material sitting around and ideas sitting around that we know what the next step is. And we're in what we are calling like these three record cycles. We had like a first round of releases that started with Can You Hear Us? And each release in this second three record cycle is sort of a mirror or brother, like a sibling type thing to the first round. So like Remedy was Can You Hear Us's sibling or little brother, so to speak. And then this one is Illuminate. Part of that is just we like rules. We like to set up some sort of structure to write into, and it helps. It sort of helps narrow the infinite possibilities that exist when making music and attempting to articulate things for a group of people. And you know, it seems that you could. So we like to have some sense of structure, and so we got structure. And then we got a seventh piece, you know, because we've been messing around with that number seven since we started. And the seventh piece is sort of the final of this, I guess, portion of the Crowder Band journey. And it's going to be I think it'll be a fun surprise.
Awesome. Well, man, that's something to look forward to. You guys take a big swing. And I know on this particular album, Church Music, there's 17 tracks. So the seven even gets into play there because you got a one and a seven, which makes eight. So I guess there's another album coming after that seventh album because they're going to evolve again. But there's 17 tracks on this thing. You know, a lot of people are like struggling to get 10 songs down. And here comes this mammoth, you know, undertaking that you guys have done. And one of the songs I want to just get so the people can hear a little bit of the project. One of them, and then we can talk about more of the 17 in a minute, but one of them is a song called Shadows. And it just actually came out as one of the pre-release singles on iTunes yesterday. But talk about that song a little bit. I think for a lot of people who've heard the project as it's been made, it seemed like that song kind of rose up close to the top for a whole lot of people and really grabbed their hearts right off the bat.
Well, it's a simple thing, and that all it does is point to the cross, you know, and it says things that get said often in the music of the church, just expressing that life is difficult at times. It's also really amazing at times, but the beauty of grace and the beauty of our faith is that the cross is a constant. That this is how we approach. Yeah. And how we are able to relate to the divine is because there has been this redemptive moment that's occurred in human history, and to be able to rest in the shadow of that is really significant. And then the music side of it, man, this was one of the really, really, I guess maybe our approach was very different on the record as a whole, but for sure on this track there is a. So, for instance, when we're playing live, everybody is pretty much leaned over some computer or keyboard rather than banging through chords on their guitar. This is a fun direction for us to go. You know, this is one of those low-end bangers you got to crank in the drops down. Got to have those wheels spinning. Them rims got to be spinning on this one.
They got to have a seat back almost to the back seat full on and a hand up on the top of the steering wheel. There's no 10 and 2 on this one. It's just one hand at 12. And this is Shadows, a little bit from church music. If you haven't heard it already, it is just one of those kind of songs that you're going to hang on to, and it's going to hang on to you for the whole journey, especially the highs and lows of life. And we'll listen to a little bit of this. We'll be back with David Crowder in just one sec. You know, when I hear that song, you know, it's just, again, it just reminds me of that there is something substantial under our feet. And man, in such a fresh way of saying it, but that message is so needed. And thank you for saying it in such a beautiful way. It's really incredible.
Yeah, plus that bass is banging.
Oh, man.
That kills me. That is so fun. I love it. I couldn't be happier on that one.
Hey, David, help us out here. Big changes happened in Waco, Texas. I know things are shifting out there. By the way, congratulations on Baylor Bears football. I mean,
I knew that's where you're going with that, man. That
they are back on the map, man. Back in the black. This is incredible. It's just a beautiful thing to watch.
But it's
the big news. I saw this. I can't remember if I saw it on Fox News or it was on CNN or whatever. But you guys have added. If I can get this right, I hope I get this right. You've added the definite article, the, to David Crowder Band, which we've spent a considerable amount of time helping people understand that it is David Crowder Band. It's not the David Crowder Band, but it's David Crowder Band. Yeah. And there's that whole other story about how those aliens put that little asterisk into the David Crowder Band, too, and that's a whole other story unto itself. Yeah. But now we've come back around, and the official release is it is the David Crowder Band. So I didn't even introduce you right. This is David Crowder, ladies and gentlemen, on the Passion Podcast of the David Crowder Band.
Well, when we started this thing, we just didn't want to be presumptive and think that, you know, there wasn't another David Crowder out there that wanted to have a band. And so it just seemed, I don't know, it seemed
and
like...
you gave him plenty of time, you know?
Yeah, totally. And it seems like enough time has passed that we can go ahead and say, I think this one might be it for a little bit, you know? So, yeah. So we it just took us a while to get to that. And we're trying to be generous with an opportunity that, you know, we shouldn't think, you know, so hopefully people appreciate the generous spirit that we had.
Well, I thank you for being clear on that and helping us kind of get our heads around it as well, because, you know, people want to speak well of you and correctly of you. And so I'd like to be the first to, in broadcast world at least, kind of come around that and say we just appreciate the David Crowder Band, and this new album from the David Crowder Band is really incredible. Beautiful stuff. Hey, there's a song on this record, David, as you know, called Eastern Hymn.
Yes.
Now, that's a pretty interesting title for a song that comes out of the southwest of the United States. So what's going on with that?
Well, now, you and I and some of our good pals were on that Passion World Tour, and I was really looking forward to it because back then I was sitting on this idea of church music, and so I couldn't wait to get out and about and see what was happening in churches across the globe, around the globe, and so we were in Hong Kong, and I had come across this Chinese prayer book, and while we were there, there was, for whatever reason, there were a couple of pages that looked really intriguing to me, so I had somebody translate, and these lyrics wound up in this hymn, and that was a really amazing opportunity to get to poke our heads into a lot of places that you see God at work and artists creating and songs coming from. Another side of that, though, is that what we also saw is that the songs of America have been transported to places far away. So it's kind of, it was, it was, That was really interesting to me to see to experience worship far from home.
Absolutely.
Also feels really familiar, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was such an incredible thing because we were out there trying to embrace culture and respect culture and you know, find ourselves immersed into the places we were. And it felt in some ways like the students who were showing up were saying, hey, forget about our culture. We want to sing the songs of your culture. And it's like, wait a minute, we're trying to speak in your language. Yeah. And they're like, hey, we're trying to speak in your language. And I do remember you doing a fantastic job in Portuguese, by the way.
Oh, man, that was a monumental moment.
One of my favorite moments of all time for the David Crowder Band. It was really, really cool. The hand motions and everything was perfect. And your Portuguese was pretty spot on, by the way. You guys had a lot of musical influences on this project. What were some of the musical influences for Eastern Hymn before we hear a little bit of it?
Well, I was going to say what happened when I was wanting to go around and collect a lot of the sounds and so forth that were coming from these cultures that I hadn't been in before. And then I find that there's a large American influence. I was slightly disappointed in the sense that I didn't have a lot to carry back sonically. So then I started looking outside of the church to see what the music of the culture, you know, whether we were in Tokyo and you've got the J-pop thing happening, or in Korea and the K-pop thing happening. All that was really intriguing. And you get up into UK and France, you've got that club, you know, the dance thing is just, you know, I guess Thursday hits and you're in a club till Monday rolls back around. And then watching a lot of this music that we would find, you know, you see the DJs and the creators of that music being very influential over the producers of pop music in the States. And so trying to look ahead and see where things are going and already are there, you know, you can look at whether it be Katy Perry stuff or, I mean, the club four on the floor thing is not going away anytime soon. In fact, it's pretty strong and coming our direction. And so that would be, you know, where you're going to wind up in this song as well. We wanted to try to throw our arms around what's going on in indie rock circles. And I think this song contains the total tonalities that you're going to encounter on this record. You know, when we get to that bridge, it's definitely a little left to center, and you can probably catch some grizzly bear or some obscure little indie thing happening in it. So, yeah, I think this is a good picture of what the record is as a whole.
That's cool. Here's a little bit of Eastern Hymn, and we'll try to pick a sample that gets us into the grizzly bear infused bridge.
Oh, Grand Supreme from the fighting so weak, just rest thy head on the shoulder of the one with it odds with. Forever grateful for the contact, you're so glad. For a moment's rest, we pay knowing we have been touched. We pay knowing we have been touched. Oh, we have been touched.
Man, I think people are getting a little taste, David, right now of kind of what's coming their way. And there's a little bit of everything sonically on this project, even getting down to some pretty tender moments and some moments that are, you know, kind of more mainstream acoustic. People could actually say, wow, we're going to do this song at our church. In fact, I think that was maybe the idea behind some of the acoustic tracks that you guys put together. Tell us just a little bit about that. I forgot to come back around and mention that. But before we get into this next song, tell us a little bit about what was behind that.
Well, the fun part about this stuff, you know, we kind of approach the recording and we view studio as compositional tool, which is, I think, one of the things that we as a band get most excited about and inspired by, is that the way music is composed now is a very different, you know, it's, recording's only been around 100 years, and it's changed everything. The approach to to composing is just a very different thing than it used to be. And so when we get to approach the studio in terms of constructing this big, grand, lush, you know, lots of layering, something that would be enjoyable to revisit over and over and not feel like you've already explored what's there to the full extent, that gets quite fun. However, it also makes you know, somebody that's trying to find songs to use in their church and they don't have the tools and the personnel available to pull this stuff off, it can sound quite daunting and a catastrophe. I can't pull that off. The beauty of these things is to just strip away all the stuff and sit with the guitar in your lap. They're really simple constructions, and so this was the full four song. Acoustic stuff is just to kind of pull some of the other stuff away and let the song be what it is in a really simple form. And I think that people can rediscover them when they're just given an opportunity to hear it, maybe in a different light with some of the peripheral bells and whistles shoved to the side.
That's cool, and I love that heart. That would only come from somebody that leads the songs in front of people, and you know, it's kind of that both end, isn't it? It's like, man, let's create something that's just monstrous, but let's don't forget that we want some college student, some worship leader to be able to sit in his dorm room and play this song, or stand up in front of, you know, 27 people and help them give voice to God. So that's really, really cool. I wanted to ask you just personally, and I don't know if you want to speak into this or not, but was there a song that surprised you more than any other song from, you know, the beginning? And some people are musically inclined, they're listening to the podcast, and they know what it means to, you know, write a song, work it into a fashion, do a demo of it, massage it, change it, alter it, you know, and in your case, put it out there with the band, let everybody speak into it. But is there a song that from like beginning to end surprised you the most in the journey that it took on the project?
Yes, absolutely. The God Almighty song that is, you know, there's about five or six hard right turns in that thing. And you don't know where it's going next and what's ahead. That song was, it kept morphing and changing, going. It was, I think, as you experience it listening for the first time, that was sort of our experience in writing it. It would take a turn and go someplace that we didn't see was coming. And those, to be surprised in the writing process is a lot of fun. And it's not always the case, you know. Lots of times it's just fun to encounter a song like other people encounter a song. That for sure was one that was the case with them, this one.
That's really cool. We got a lot of arrange and some of this club music, four on the floor stuff going on. And then there's this moment where you do this song that is really, you know, it's, you feel it. It's acoustic guitar. It's, you can, you know, it's just tender in a way, and you're kind of exposed in your heart as you lead it. A song called How He Loves, which is you know, swept around this nation and has been a pretty huge song for the church. And I love the fact that it's out at radio right now. And so folks driving their cars, sitting at home, whatever, they're listening to Christian radio or really loving this song in this particular moment. But what inspired you to grab onto this song and make it a part of a collection? Obviously, you didn't need more songs because you had 17 songs on the project. So
hurting for material.
You know, I mean, there's sometimes people are like, man, I can't write 10 songs. So, you know, I have to do this one and this one, and that's nothing wrong with that. But obviously, you guys have a wealth of material and amazing songs. So how did this song make it into the record, and what were you hoping in carrying this to the nation?
Well, as you're well aware, UBC, or the church that we're a part of, is a pretty unique setting. And so not all of the songs that explode on a national and global scale fit really well with us. And so I'm constantly looking, trying to find other writers and songs that move me in a way that would be similar to the rest of our congregation. And so I'm on this plane flight, and I'm listening to, you know, none other than Eddie Kirkland's CD, and a fantastic CD, by the way. And I get to this song, and this song had not made its way into my circle at that time. And it starts playing, and here I am on this plane. I'm like weeping like a little kid. I'm like, you know, planes are fairly enclosed social settings. So I'm trying to maintain some sense of composure. And yet this song is just devastating me. And not knowing any, you know, not having any context for the story behind the song, or, you know, knowing where it was coming from when John Mark wrote it, but at that time I'm thinking this is, you know, Eddie's song, and I'm floored. By the time I got off the plane, I grabbed the guys and I say, y'all, first of all, you have to hear this song. You'll be undone by the time it's through playing. And then second of all, whatever weight we had, because since it hadn't been in our circle yet, whatever weight we have and the people who have attached to us, I want this song to be in front of them, because I know it will affect them in a similar way as it affects me. So that was our intentions in including it. And then come to find out that, as you know, as soon as we were headed down that trail, you know, there's a couple of words in there that apparently are pretty unnerving and possibly had prevented it from finding its home in a lot of settings that you know, it's just the whole theme of the song being the incredible depth of God's love for us gets missed because of two words. And that just felt like, man, this is just, what can we do about this? So there's a lot of conversation back and forth with John Mark, who is the author of the song and a fantastic songwriter. And he was incredibly kind in letting us remove that and try to find a replacement that still was true to his initial intent. And so it's, yeah, we were just hoping to get this into the hearts and lives of a lot of people who it wouldn't have found its way to. And even though we might not have needed it, or, you know, material wise, we felt like we needed it because we have a platform, and I would love to be in some sense responsible with it. And when something finds its way to me and shapes me and changes me and that there's formation that happens, I feel like I need to transport that into the settings that we're able to go into. So it's just, man, this song is just, it is an amazing expression, and
well,
we're really humbled he'd let us participate with it like that.
Yeah, that's cool. And I mean, just hearing your heart on that, because that has happened. And, you know, I don't know the exact number today, but I know that several million people are in the audience that are hearing this song, and that it's impacting. And that's really cool, because there's a lot of streams and a lot of ears out there, and this song totally does in your heart exactly what you're talking about. So if you haven't heard it from the album Church Music, that we're all pretty excited about, it's going to be launching to the world next Tuesday, the 22nd of September. This is How He Loves from the David Crowder Band. David, I'm so excited. I kind of get to this point, and I know you're probably, you know, 100 times more in that moment than I am, but you carry something for a very long time, and you've been carrying these songs, and your band's been carrying them for ages, and as a label and as a friend, we've been carrying these songs with you for a while. I'm so excited about Tuesday, and so happy for people to be able to experience the project in its fullness. And I love iTunes, and I love the four singles idea, and I love buying music on demand and all that stuff, but there are few people that come along that defy that system, and they write In a kind of verse that really is best heard from the opening forward prelude to the closing chapter and benediction. And you're one of those people. And I just encourage anybody who's out there, if you want to buy singles, buy singles. If that's the way you process music, then by all means, go for it. But there's something really special about listening to this record from the beginning to the end and understanding the message of it from front to back. And people aren't going to have a chance to do that until Tuesday. So I'm excited about Tuesday. It's going to be really incredible. And then they're going to get a chance to hear you guys play the music. You're heading out on the church music tour. I think October 1st is the first date. 32 cities you're headed to. And that's going to be a pretty interesting night.
Oh my word! You have no idea, dude. Here's the thing, because you've heard this thing, and there's a lot going on, right?
Have you hired six or eight other guys to join the band, or I mean, what's going to happen?
Well, we're tracking this thing, we start joking with Jeremy because there's a lot of drum layering on this thing that we haven't really explored that much in the past. So you know, we'll have like a complete drum set coming into the left side of the stereo spectrum and disappearing. And I'm looking at Jeremy. I'm like, B-Wack, what are you going how are you going to do this? You know? And so he starts joking about halfway through our recording process. Well, I need to build a robot. And you know, his head works weird. So we usually entertain these things that he says aloud in a way that is not offensive to him. And we're like, yeah, that's what you should probably do. You should probably just build a robot. You know, that'd be a good idea, you know? And then start joking about the uprising that would surely come in the not too distant future if he were to, and making sure he has, you know, Asimov's rules in place so that they don't, you know, turn against us, all this stuff. So sure enough, wouldn't you know it, B-Wack has built a robot drummer. I'm not kidding, dude. You are going to flip out. Now, robot is a little misleading in the sense that it's not humanoid, but you have to think more in like manufacturing robotics.
Unbelievable.
You know? So yes, he's got these arms that they machined out at TSTC. You know, they're triggered on these hydraulics. And what he's doing is he's converting MIDI signals. He built this circuit board.
Unbelievable.
That converts MIDI to electricity that trigger these hydraulics to go off. And it's like, it's all self-contained, this little case. It's got its kick drum, its snare drum, its little hi-hat that's going up and down.
That is the most crazy thing I've ever heard. That is awesome.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
I was trying to get people inspired to come and experience God, encounter, you know, the kingdom, hear these songs, experience community as they listen to this music together. It's like, forget all that, man.
Come see the first robotic
drummer ever. On tour. I mean, that's, we got to redo the poster, man. It's got to be the church music robotic drummer tour.
Well, I told him, I said, you know, I said, now you realize what you've done, don't you? You have eliminated any need for you.
Yeah, he started a slow process of eliminating the entire David Crowder band, actually.
That's what I'm talking about. We'll just have it all boxed up in cases and we send ourselves, you know, out on tour and you just unbox them and plug them in and they're good to go.
Incredible.
We're pretty close. We're pretty close.
Well, if people want to come and hear the songs, which I know they're going to want to, then come to your website, davidcrowderband.com. And it is davidcrowderband.com, so I'm not sure if we're going to have to modify that in some way, shape, or form. But you can find out about the David Crowder Band. Or actually, if you put in the David Crowder Band, you come to David Crowder Band, don't you?
Correct, yeah. Now, because this is a little misleading, because early on we did buy the domain, the David Crowder Band, waiting for them to come along. That was kind of one of these, we had a money-making scheme in place, you know, just waiting, thinking.
Yeah. As soon as they emerge, we're going to sell their website.
So, yeah, we've been sitting on that thing for a long time and just decided, well, I guess it's ours. We should just point it to our site.
Well, davidcrowderband.com is where you can find out about the tickets, and I'm going to be at some of the dates, and I know for sure I'm going to be at LA, and that date sold out, so I wasn't supposed to mention that one, but I'm excited about it nonetheless. That's a really cool venue you're going to be playing in out there, and you're going to be releasing the CD at UBC, which I don't know if I'm supposed to say that on the podcast or not, but by the time some people listen to this, it won't be Monday yet, so Monday the 21st of September. At your church, there's always this kind of house party, you know, just a little in-house, but there's always some people that end up showing up from far, far away. Yep. But are tickets still available for that?
They sure are.
Okay, so somebody listens to this fast, you probably need to go to davidcrowderband.com and get a ticket right now, because by the time you hear this, it'll be probably Thursday or Friday, and that's coming up on Monday. But church music tour coming up, robotic drummer, incredible songs, the David Crowder Band coming to cities all across America. And I just want to personally say this to you, and I know it probably sounds kind of dorky to our listeners out there, but I just want to thank you personally for the kind of artistry that God breathes through you, David, and through the band. And I know this is a collective. This isn't really about one person, this album and the process of what's happening in this music. It's a collective very much so. But thank you for it. God has really, really breathed into my life in some incredible ways over the journey of these songs. And as you know, I've got my favorite, which is I don't care which other songs I'm listening to right now. I got the CD in my car right this moment. And I mean, not this, well, it's in my car right this moment, but I'm not in my car, you understand. But when I get in my car, it'll be on a different track, and I'll enjoy that, and probably another track and another track. But before my journey's over, I'll get back to my favorite track. And God is just like so doing some incredible stuff in my heart. So I just want to say thank you, not as a record label person or an event person, but just as a friend. Thank you for an incredible project. And
well,
I'm excited.
That is incredibly kind, and I didn't consider it dorky at all. It felt really nice to hear that, so thank you.
Well, listen, I hear the tape, little tape guns kind of winding down, and that means you probably need to get in there and crack the whip and get those guys going.
Give some motivation here.
Get those double LPs heading out to people. If you've ordered the David Crowder fan pack, I know we've already had audience participation a little bit. Could you just raise your hand if you've already ordered the David Crowder fan pack?
See that hand.
No, come on. I'm not kidding. Go ahead. Higher. Don't be embarrassed. Don't worry about those kids on the bus on the campus that you're commuting back to your dorm. Just raise it up. There you go. That's cool. That's cool. Well, if you want to get that thing, it's a double LP. It's the CD, the magazine, 80-page magazine we didn't get to talk about. So that's a treat people are just going to have to discover all by themselves. And a whole bunch of other fun stuff is in there. I think it's $35 or something respectable like that. So you can check that out, David Crowder Band Church Music Tour. And thanks so much for taking time today, David.
No doubt. Absolutely.
And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Have a good one.
Take care. I love that guy, and it is so great having him on the podcast with us. And wow, incredible stuff. I can't wait. And for all you guys who made it to the end of the podcast today, we got some special treats for you. We're about to give away some Passion 2010 t-shirts in just 1 second, but I want to reach back to our podcast for the school mascots and just let you know that I mentioned Okay, we're going to go with this one right here. I'm going to tell you the truth. This is the third take on this, and I haven't said it right yet. So thank you for making it to the end of the podcast. You're getting to hear me be an absolute idiot, okay? So Brad, say the name of the school. Centenary. I don't know why I can't say that, but no offense to the gentlemen and the ladies of Centenary. Centenary. Is that the name of it? Centenary. It is Centenary. You say it with me, Jonathan. Centenary. He wants to get the T in there. I think it's just Centenary. There's no extra T in there. But anyway, they're the gentlemen and the ladies. And I got one email back from somebody. Actually, they messaged me on Twitter saying, hey, I know six gentlemen from Centenary. So that was pretty wild. So thank you for the overwhelming response. Oh, and we did get one email. So we got one Twitter message and one email. So, I mean, you know, if you've got 300 listeners, that's not too bad. We got one email from somebody at Simon Fraser University. And I am so sorry. I hate it when people do this. And I did it. I did one of the things that is one of my top pet peeves, and that was I did an Americanism, and I hate to do those. I said Simon Fraser is in British Columbia, which is not in North America, and I am so sorry. But I'm sorry to break it to you guys in British Columbia, but we've just actually detached you from North America, and I know you don't know yet, but it's true. No, I'm only kidding. I meant to say it's not in America. Of course, Canada is in North America, and I know Canadians hate Americans because they always say stupid things like that. So thank you to our Canadian friends who are very much a part of North America, but yet not in America, and to the clan at Simon Fraser University, my deepest apologies. I'm so, so sorry. T-shirts. I am part of a global awakening. 20 of them we're going to give away right now. Here's how you get one. You send us an email to podcast@268generation.com, and you tell us what size you want. They come in extra small. Nope, small, medium, large, extra large, and double extra large. So there are your options, small, medium, large, XL, double XL. Tell us in the email. You can just write it all on the subject, and we won't even have to open it. I want a T-shirt, small. And we're going to pick 20 of you. In fact, the first 20 emails that come, you're going to get a shirt. So there's no random selection process here. The first 20 that pop into our email box today, I think when the podcast is going up, is the 17th, could be the 18th of September. So I'll hedge our bets there. You only have until the 24th of September to send us an email. So if you're listening to this after the 24th of September, I'm so sorry. But you can get a t-shirt on the Passion 2010 website. So click into 268generation.com, go to 268generation.com. How can I get back into that? Let's do you want to go back to the just to the top of the t-shirts or just to the website? Okay, you I'll just do that. You can get one on the website at 268generation.com. Click on Passion 2010, and under the Passion 2010 website, you can find a t-shirt there. And we hope that you will get one, by the way. There is a new promo video for Passion 2010 that's there that is absolutely incredible. You can watch it on the site. You can get one. You can download it. You can show it at your church, your school, your campus, your friends. And please help us do that. Spread the word. I mentioned that we had a big registration deadline, but we have another one coming up on November 1st and a long, long way to go. And so we need your help and help spread the word. Wearing a shirt's a way to do that. 20 of you are going to get one very, very soon, as long as we got your email before September 24th. So thanks very much for that as well. Also want to mention a couple of things really fast. We talked all about David Crowder's CD, but Fee, one of our favorite bands, our neighbors, our friends from around the corner, big part of the Passion movement. In fact, Fee and Charlie Hall are going to be on the Road to 2010 campus tour that's going to be happening a little bit later in the fall. We'll talk about that in a few podcasts. But Fee has a new album. It is coming out on the same day as Crowder's album. So while you're there buying the Crowder CD, grab Fee. You're going to love it. It's incredible, incredible, incredible music. If you're at iTunes, just look for Fee's new CD. It's called Hope Rising, and it's a beautiful CD, powerful songs, and you're going to absolutely love it. So thanks for being with us today. Been incredible being with you guys. A little secret thing we're trickling out here is that we got a new video we've worked on called My Life, and it's out there in the YouTube world if you just want to search it out and find it. I looked for My Life, Jonathan, and there was like pages of My Life videos. So how are they going to find ours? Go to Passion Conferences at YouTube, look for our page there, and then look for the My Life video. It's not anywhere on our website, anywhere else, but just to you 300 guys, you can be the first ones to check it out. It's really pretty cool. Commentary on social networking, on technology, and just on the heart of all of us, really, and seeing God do something incredible in our lives. And we hope it'll really, and not only encourage you, but give you a way to tell people about Passion 2010. So that's a whole bunch of stuff at the end of the podcast. Don't you love that? You stuck around for an hour, which you're not supposed to make hour-long podcasts, by the way. That's against every podcasting rule. So if you're listening right now, you have broken every rule of podcasting by sticking with me to the end of this podcast. Most of you left apparently 22 minutes ago, but to those of you who made it to the end, free t-shirts, Fee band, new CD, and don't forget little videos on YouTube called My Life. I'll be back with you guys soon. Thanks so much for being with us today. Hannah, we're praying for you and your family. He is the God of all comfort, and we know that he's comforting you. Take care, guys. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.